Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host Mike Dempsey and Ryan O'Halloran.
Hey, welcome in everybody. Happy Wednesday to you. Brought to you by Metro Rooter. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran of the Florida Times Union. Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today live at Everbank Field on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. It's getting closer, free agency, now less than a week away. Had a prospective blockbuster deal in the fact that you don't see many player-for-player trades get done in the National Football League go down yesterday. Nothing can be finalized until next Tuesday, and we've got the blockbuster Ryan O'Halloran. Yes. My immediate left. How are you? What's going on?
Good. I love player-for-player trades. We don't see enough of them.
Don't see very many.
This was an unprecedented deal, McCoy for Alonzo, because it's player-for-player. Standout for standout, and most importantly, just the different money these guys make. You know, usually these deals, you know, the money sort of evens out a little bit. This is out of the stratosphere.
Well, and one thing it does is, I don't know if there were ever going to be any real legs to it at all anyway, but in our fun speculation of all the different scenarios for the Jaguars.
We were right in one respect.
Right. Well, Sean McCoy is on the trading block. Right? Wrong team. Okay. That was, now, maybe they're going to put Kiko Alonso as the piece in the deal. I kind of doubt that. Chip Kelly's 11th Oregon Duck he's got on that roster. 11 of them, of his former players. So, look.
I'd sign every Oregon guy in town and just offer him up, see if you can get a pick for him.
I guess,
yeah,
right?
I joked around last night. I was like, I never wish we had drafted Deion Jordan more than right now.
Right?
You know?
What can you get for Deion
Jordan?
What
do you want, Chip?
Of course.
First round, okay.
You would have given up a top 10 pick for Deion Jordan, and you'd probably get, like, a sixth for him
now
is what you'd get if you'd even get that. But there was some talk about that even last off season of Philadelphia being interested in acquiring Deion Jordan on the cheap. Well, let's hope their continued interest in Oregon players holds through the draft. Mm-hmm. And Mariota at least is in the conversation. If Leonard Williams goes off the board at number two, that maybe there's a market. It doesn't mean that Dave Caldwell is going to be in favor of what's offered necessarily, but like to see it at least have some interest from teams like that. Maybe St. Louis at 10, maybe Cleveland with a couple of first-round picks.
Yeah, and from a Jaguars perspective, you look at what the Eagles did yesterday, not just the McCoy trade, but they cut Harriman's last week. They're getting ready to cut Cole. They cut Kerry Williams. So they got a ton of cap space. They're definitely in the McCourty conversation now. And although it doesn't impact the Jags as much, I think they're freeing up money to make a run at Sue.
And they may. They may, in fact. And they're freeing up a lot of money. And also, though, the one thing about Sue, I don't, you know, we know about his personality from a distance. Chip Kelly is said to, you know, McCoy and Chip Kelly didn't really see eye to eye. He's said to be basically running everybody out of the locker room.
D-Jax.
Who's not on board. DeSean Jackson last year, prime example of that. So we'll get into that today as we go along. Ryan, a lot of things going on in terms of creeping up on the beginning of free agency, and on Saturday, the Jags, Dave Caldwell, and others can make calls around the league to various agents and try to, you know, gauge interest, set up some meetings, and barring meetings, I mean, don't you think even really it's more offers get made over that three-day period? Because much like we saw Zane Beadle sign at 10 minutes after 4 last year, you're going to try to strike while the iron's hot in the immediate hours of free agency.
Yeah, the buzzword over the weekend is going to be parameters. You know, they're going to talk about X dollar here, X year here, and then once Tuesday at 4 o'clock, you can officially, you know, agree to terms. You know, it's going to be interesting, the Jaguars' strategy, because last year, you know, they struck with Beatles. They arranged some visits from other guys. I think they're going to, like, take huge swings early, but also put their ducks in a row for the second and third guys at those positions. I'd be surprised if you have a lot of guys coming through here before they've agreed the terms.
Right. Tony and I said this yesterday. Pretty much the first place anybody goes is the great likelihood of where they sign. Mm-hmm. Right? Either they have something set up ahead of time, or there's a lot of pressure. Obviously, if you go there first, you kind of get the sense there's mutual interest on both sides if you have any kind of suitors out there. So if you get them in the building, if they get out of the building, you rarely ever get that guy.
Because like last year, three guys were here that left without a contract: Emmanuel Sanders, Willie Young, and Walter Thurman.
Right.
And they, it's like when you leave here, there's hardly ever a chance.
Rarely do they come back to a place that they visited before. It happens on occasion, but not written in stone. You and Hayes Carline combined on an article of five targets for the Jags, who they should, who they shouldn't target. I want to ask you, let's start with Ndamukong Suh. We talked a lot about him yesterday and really plenty this off season. Do you think they're aggressively going to pursue Ndamukong Suh?
No. And I'll just preface that. We had five offensive in today's paper. We're going to do five defensive players in tomorrow's paper.
Including Suh.
And I think from the Suh perspective is where he's going to go money-wise, I don't think these guys want to go, which is what, 15 average? 16, 17, 18, 19?
Right, probably more like 18, 19, I'm guessing.
So let's say you have... I think for a team in the Jaguars position, let's say Sue's cap number or average salary is $15 just for a round number. Would you rather get three players for that right now than one guy like him? I don't think this franchise is at the stage right now where they think they're one piece away, and obviously they're not.
I agree with that. And also, you know, there's just talk about let's get Suh and then let's figure out where he fits on this team.
Honestly, I think we're on the same here. It's way too much money to guess.
So you don't think afterwards. Think now.
Dakota Watson.
There's plenty.
A lot less
money.
Right.
You can get him on the cheap and then see if he's going to work in that spot. But with Ndamukong Suh, I think if you pursue him, you got to have a clear vision for how you're going to use him on your football team.
Yeah, because he's going to ask you, what's your clear vision for me helping your
team? What's your plan? Where am I going to play? Let's just say for hypothetically that Ndamukong Suh signed with the Jaguars. How do you see it going? Let's say maybe early in the season he plays in Cinderic Marks' spot, right? Because let's say Marks is on the physically unable to perform list. I'm speculating, okay, first 6 weeks of the year. But at some point, Cinderic Marks is fully healthy, ready to go. Let's say it's the second half of the season. What are you doing? Are you playing Suh at left defensive end in place of Red Bryant?
Well, I think that's what I would do, and I'd move him inside on some third downs.
And then have maybe Marks and Suh in the middle on third down, being two more penetrating defensive tackles.
Go with those two guys, and then put your two lead with, you know, right now would be Branch and Clemens.
And plenty of time, even not on third downs. I mean, when you're rotating guys in and out, you take Roy Miller out, you got Marks and Suh in the middle, or Miller and Suh in the middle, and Red Bryant's in at left defensive end.
Because at that big end spot, you know, Red's at 325 plus, Sue's listed at 307. Which makes it even more impressive what he does at tackle.
Right, but he's the guy. There's no questioning his strength,
he's
though.
He's a behemoth.
Right.
So I'd put him at end because I just think that would be a good matchup.
Is that? I mean, it's look. He's a fantastic player. You look at Detroit's defensive ratings; they were among the tops in the league last year. You know, particularly against the run. But man, it, 8.5 sacks, just what Cindric Marks produced. I realize there's other things going on. It's not just sacks. It's pressure that he creates and opportunities that he creates for other guys as well. But it's not like George Johnson was going to the Pro Bowl last year on the strength of just because he played on the line with Ndamukong Suh. So you think they'll make a call at all, just kind of gauge, would he be interested, or do you think they already realize that the market's going to be above their head?
I think they probably realize that already.
And above their head only by choice, obviously,
because
the wherewithal to spend on anybody they want.
Yeah, they can go to whatever lengths they want to. But whenever I look at Suh, a defensive tackle going into free agency, I covered the Haynesworth debacle in Washington where he signs a 7-year, $100 million deal, and the very next day I had a defensive assistant ask me, I don't think we really got better today. Because everybody said when Haynesworth was in his junior year of high school, he starred, got the scholarship, tanked as a senior. In college, had one good year to get drafted, had one good year in the pros to get the free agent deal. So, okay. I don't, you know, maybe there's some correlations there, but that's just the big risk.
I don't think Suh is that guy necessarily. I mean, it's a big risk.
He's not a turd.
Right. At least in terms of effort, right? I mean, Haynesworth, that was his problem. He may be a turd in other aspects of, you know, sportsmanship and dirty play and what have you. And just based on Jaguar Twitter, I think a lot of people are willing to overlook any foot stomping issues that he may have had in the past.
Just stomp the other guy's quarterback.
Right, exactly. If you do enough stomping. I will say this. I think they would get better with Ndamukong Suh. I don't think there's any question. And I think they would find a way to utilize him. But I am surprised how many people just say, pay him and then figure it out later. I don't think that's how it works when you're signing a guy to a $100 million plus deal, which I bet he breaks.
Yeah, and, you know, like we said, from his perspective is he doesn't have to start guessing after he signs the deal. I mean,
he's got enough options.
He's deserved to get a clear picture.
Oh, and he will, because there are enough suitors out there that if some team is going to say, this, we're going to use you exactly as you got used last year, how do you want to be used? We'll work you in there. Let's talk. The Giants may make a run at him. Miami may make a run. They're talked at as many as 15 or 16 teams, honestly, may make a run at him.
I mean, this is a once-in-a-decade type free agent to hit out, and it's going to be interesting to see what the game plan for his camp is. You know, heard stuff last couple months, you know, 25 teams are interested. Well, when it comes down to Saturday, are they going to, you know, are they going to be somebody like they do in baseball where they, you know, want to be romanced a little bit and make some visits, or is he going to be a guy who at 4:05 on Tuesday is signed, sealed, and delivered? I'm thinking it may take a couple of days.
It may, and in which case, some, you know, if you've got a lot of holes to fill, you don't necessarily want to allocate and just hold that money off to the side.
And that would eliminate these guys, which they probably already know.
All right, we'll get into that today if you'd like to. 641-1010. You want to talk about the prospect who the Jags may target in free agency. We'll touch on certainly our thoughts on the proposal of Sean McCoy for Kiko Alonso deal that got reported on yesterday by Adam Schefter of ESPN. In fact, today's Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback question of the day asks you, if the trade goes down, who gets the better end of it? The Philadelphia Eagles receiving Kiko Alonso on a rookie deal with a couple of years left there to play linebacker, or the Buffalo Bills getting a proven star in LeSean McCoy, albeit at a much higher price, and getting ready to play his 27-year-old season as a running back in the National Football League. Your thoughts on that? Tweet us at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and at 1010XL Tyler. You can also get on board on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. You're certainly welcome to do that. Phone lines open to you next, 641-1010. We're live in the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios here at Everbank Field. It's a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, Fat Tony here with you. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Hey, Mark Brunell is stumping for Ndamukong Suh to come to Jacksonville.
I
think it's Jacksonville, right? He realizes the Jaguars are here in Jacksonville, and they're going to stay here in Jacksonville, right?
He did, yes.
I actually tweeted
out
this is where he'd be playing at the game.
After watching him read the Ndamukong Suh please come to Jacksonville letter on NFL Live, I actually tweeted out, "Hey, Jaguars fans, Mark Brunell just said go Jaguars."
He didn't say go to Europe, all right? He said just go in the sense of do well.
Yeah.
And
I'm glad he mentioned the fact that we got no state income tax.
I'm glad he mentioned that Jacksonville is a franchise.
Yeah.
That's actually a part of a sentence that says Jacksonville is a franchise.
I will not partake in making fun of a Jaguars legend.
I think he had to remind himself that Jacksonville is a franchise. Ryan O'Halloran quickly trying to get on the good side of Jaguar Twitter this morning.
Right.
Here you go. Mark Brunell, open letter to Ndamukong Suh. This was a bit for ESPN.
It's a good word for it, too.
It's a bit. That's what it is, right?
It was a bit.
Shtick.
Right. It's, and Jeff Saturday did one for the Colts, and Bettis did one for the Steelers, okay? This is what Mark Brunell had to say. "Dear Mr. Suh, I hope this letter finds you well. My name is Mark Brunell, and I was the quarterback for the Jaguars years ago. I'm writing you to ask if you'd be willing to join our football team. Our fans love and support our team." He's pouring it on now. "And would love nothing more for you to wear the teal and black. We have a good young quarterback, and we have a defensive-minded coach in Gus Bradley that you would enjoy playing for. Jacksonville is a franchise that is once again on the rise, and your leadership and intensity is exactly what we need. By the way, we have a lot of money to spend, and we're going to spend it. Not to mention Florida has no state income tax. Just saying, I really hope you will consider being a Jaguar. Go Jaguars," Mr. Mark Brunell.
Yeah, Jerome Bettis was up next, and he started his letter with, "Hello from the City of Champions."
Hey, I would too if I were Jerome
Bettis. I would too if I was Pittsburgh.
I think Green Bay would say that,
right?
And New England would say that, you know, and maybe one or two others out there. But if I'm Pittsburgh, I'm like, count the rings, baby.
That's right.
All right. How will state income tax actually affect a potential Ndamukong Suh deal? Okay, here's some numbers here on what he would make relative in one place compared to another. Okay, in Florida, obviously, and six other states, Washington State, Texas, among them, that don't have state income tax. For instance, Indiana has a 3.3% state income tax if you went to play for the Colts. In Georgia, it's 6% if you went to play for the Falcons. If he stayed with the Lions, it's 4.2%, which is what he's been used to. California, state income tax in California is what?
8.2%.
Tony.
I was going to guess 8.
We're going to go with 13.3%. Holy smokes, man.
Why does anyone live there?
It's beautiful out there, but that's a lot
it's not
of cashish.
Enough more beautiful than Florida to pay 13%.
Right, there's
of
medical
your income.
Marijuana in lots of places,
oh my
folks.
Goodness.
Get out of California, all right? Here's what you would make your first 3 years. If you got $55 million over the first 3 years of a deal, all right, you'd get. In a place like Florida with no state income tax, you'd get $31.8 million of that. So the federal government would take $24 million from you. Oh, man. Out in California, for instance, you'd make a little over $27 million. So about $4.5 million difference. That's not an insignificant sum of money. That's a pretty good chunk of change
yeah.
right there. After over a six-year, $102 million deal, just making up, you know, prospective numbers here, in Florida, you would get $58.99 million. So the government's taking $40 million of your money. It's still a lot of money left over, Ryan. I could probably find a way to get by. Man, that seems like a big chunk. In California, you would get half. You would get $51.1 million out of 102. So basically between federal and state income taxes, in that tax bracket, it's just chopping it right in half. There you go. So out the door goes your money, and Uncle Sam will improve the roadways, I'm sure, with that. All right, let's get some calls going today. If you want to get in, 641-1010. Let's start with Greg this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Hello, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
I was speaking on the Dominican Sue thing. I mean, y'all make it seem like it's hard for him to fit in. I mean, if he came, he would actually be the best player on the team. So why not? I mean, he could play anywhere in a number of the four positions. He could play all the positions. So, I mean, it wouldn't be hard to move around. And plus, I mean, he could play the J.J. Watt role where he basically plays anywhere he wants. And if it was me, I would offer him a deal that would be hard to match by any team. Maybe like a 3-year, $75 million deal. That was for we after 3 years, we could resign our players who coming up for contract who does develop and we have a better chance of getting them. And plus, I know no one's offering that range of money, even though it's a short amount of year.
Well, I don't think it's a question of whether we don't think Sue would fit in. He would fit in any defense. I think the thing with the Jags is I don't think they feel comfortable going to the money that this is going to reach because they have so many other areas to fill. I think he's going to end up going to a team that is obviously more equipped to win quicker.
And I do think, you know, Greg is kind of going off on my question of you figure it out before you sign the guy. You don't say, well, I'm going to spend all this money and then figure out. I agree. You would find a way to use him. Would it be the best use of your resources? I think you have to balance that. Your best player on this team when he was healthy last year was Cedric Marks. They play the exact same position. So if you bring in Ndamukong Suh, you know, presumably your two best players could be guys that play the exact same position. Could you play them both together? Sure you could. Is that getting the best out of them, the best use of their abilities, if you're playing one of your two best guys out of his naturally best fit on defense? I'm not saying it's insurmountable. I'm just saying it's something just another factor you got to consider when you put this whole puzzle together, mm-hmm. If you did pursue Ndamukong Suh. 641-1010, let's get Darren next up on Jaguars Today. Yep. You're on 1010XL. Hey, Darren, how are you?
How's it going, fellas?
Good.
Good.
It just, I was listening to you guys talk yesterday and even, listening to, our primetime show. And I kind of have to, agree with, Josie and Hacker a little bit, as it relates to the running game. Man, you know, my question and my comment here is, you know, who is the top paid running back in the league? And with that question, you know, why wouldn't we make the running back from Dallas that top paid running back here in Jacksonville? Because I heard Cowboys say something yesterday was so key. He basically said there's only two ways to really move the football. That's passing and running. So if you got a good running game, I mean, we really can improve on that considering the fact that there is a ton of running backs out there right now. And I'm going to just take my comments off the air with that.
I would make a play for DeMarco Murray.
That's what he suggested. But yeah. For his question, the top paid running back is Adrian Peterson, mm-hmm. And he's set to make somewhere over $10 million this year with a cap charge of around 12.
And I think
12,
the number two paid running back just got
LeSean McCoy.
Well, here's the average by running back average per year. Adrian Peterson, 14.38. Number two, Jamal Charles, 9 million. So there's that
definitely
gap.
A big drop off.
You know, there's only seven guys at more than six. So
I don't have a problem if they make a run at DeMarco Murray. You have to understand, if you sign DeMarco Murray, if DeMarco Murray is going to come here, I think you're going to have to overpay a couple million dollars more than Dallas is willing to spend. Because the sense is, if it's close, even if it's a slight edge towards the team pursuing him, he'll remain in Dallas. He's got a great offense there. He's got a great offensive line. There's no state income tax, which we just talked about in the state of Texas as well. And that's fine, but you're probably going to be overpaying for the back end of that contract in a big way. Now, the Jags have plenty of cap space. You can structure it so you take more of a hit up front if you want to. The question is, Ryan, you know, how much is DeMarco Murray and how much is the offensive line? How much is the presence of Tony Romo and Dez Bryant opening things up for the running game as well? You know, those are factors. DeMarco Murray's a great player. I mean, he had a great season. First season, he really stayed healthy, though, in his NFL career.
Well, a lot of guys like that, too, which is interesting in and of itself.
What do you mean?
Like, you know, Cobb was hurt.
Correct.
One big year.
Bulaga's been hurt. Sure. Jeremy Macklin, another one. I mean, a lot of these guys. I mean, Julius Thomas has missed a bunch of games in the last couple of years. So, you know, there is an aspect of, I don't want to call them damaged goods, but there's a little bit more risk involved with some of these players, and that's probably part of the reason why some of them are available.
I was going to say that. There's reasons why they're going to hit the market.
Yeah, but I don't think anybody here would be upset with a pursuit of DeMarco Murray. I don't think it's the likely thing that this team's going to do because they do. I don't think they feel like they're on the precipice of doing that. I'd much rather them see if they could get a guy like Todd Gurley at the top of the second round. I don't think he's going to be available there, but give me a guy that I'm going to have under a rookie deal for 4 years.
Absolutely.
And then I can give him that big money deal when he's 25 or 26 if I, you know, if he's right in the prime.
Or you go get another one to go do the same thing.
You go get another
one. Which is what Dallas could potentially do, too.
Right.
And with the story coming out surrounding DeMarco Murray specifically, that he may be willing to give Dallas a little bit of a hometown discount depending on what offers he hears from other teams. And if you're talking about having to pay DeMarco Murray, who probably has a couple, two or three more good years in him, probably, if you're talking about having to pay him $7, $8 million a year, if you're Jacksonville, is it worth it to go get that guy, or do you go into the draft with some kind of plan to get a guy in that position? Look, I don't have a problem if they want to pursue DeMarco Murray. I've been saying it for 3 weeks now. I think with the amount of money they have to spend, you have an opportunity to go get a guy that just led the league in rushing. You take your chances with that. And as far as what his role was in Dallas, I think he opened things up for Tony Romo and Dez Bryant more so than the other way around.
Romo's been putting up big numbers for a long time.
But that team last year, when he led the league in rushing, ran the ball on first and 10 something like 85% of the time. They were a running team early to set up everything else they did because it was second and five every time they handed the ball to DeMarco Murray.
I don't doubt that.
To him and that offense.
Put him on this team, try the exact same thing.
Probably wouldn't work that way.
Right, it's not going to work to the same degree because you don't have those other threats. So, look, it works both ways. I agree with you on that. A caller pointed out that player income tax is based on where the game was played. So you do pay when you're on the road, but that's half of your games, obviously, at least, at a minimum, are being played in your home state. And I assume those calculations are based on that.
Yeah, I think 9 next year because they go to Tampa.
Right. The road schedule is going to differ every year, except for the division.
Because they play in London.
So that would clearly...
And Houston.
That would clearly make Oakland a lesser place to go to than Jacksonville because you're paying way more in taxes, right?
It's a consideration.
That's one reason.
Right? I mean, that's one reason. That and Tuesday Night Fights, which Deadspin hadn't discontinued because it featured Oakland fast food joints and convenience stores quite regularly. Let's go to Andrew. Next up this morning on Jaguars Today. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Hey, guys. Doing great.
I just wanted to point out,
Shad Khan just ranked number 4 on Forbes magazine of richest owners. This guy's going to spend money this offseason. I don't think there's a free agent that can sit in a room with Shad Khan and Gus Bradley, especially on defense, and not be excited about playing for Jacksonville. So that being said, I think they get the pick of the litter this year in free agency. Shad always finds a way to make everyone excited in the offseason. And then I think number 3 overall, you could even look needs-based. You could get a guy like a Brandon Scherf and start building that line around Blake Bortles.
Yeah, I don't see him taking a Brandon Scherff with the third pick overall when there are higher regarded players. You certainly could build the line around Blake Bortles, but I think they're more likely with as much youth as they have on the offensive line to bring in some veterans to shore up that right tackle position and continue to create some competition. I have no problem with them drafting a tackle at some point in the draft if they see a guy. We were just talking on the break about Cedric Abui, the kid out of Texas A&M, as a, you know, for example. I don't know how the scouting staff feels about him. He's had injury concerns, spotty play at times, but at one point he was looked at as a potential top five draft pick, you know, as people were projecting ahead. Now he's going to fall perhaps out of the first round, maybe even out of the second round, depending on how things go. You know, a lot of ways they could go. And just because Shai Khan has money, though, when you say get the pick of the litter, let's say you overpaid to get Ndamukong Suh. Well, all of a sudden your cap space goes from 67, whatever, close to 70 million down to whatever it's going to be. A lot of teams are going to jump you then in cap space. You can't have the best of every position that's available out there. And Shad Khan's got a lot of money. They all got a lot of money. And it's the salary cap that runs it. It's not like Shad's writing him a personal check for, you know, to come play here.
And one thing I think the Jaguars will adopt this weekend is, let's say they have players ranked 1 through 5 at a certain position. They may already know that players 1 and 2, it's not going to happen. So they're not even going to bother taking that swing because they want to make sure they get in room with 3, maybe sign the 4th guy. So, you know, they're going to, I think on a couple spots, they're going to go for that number 1 guy. And then, you know, then it's not going to be bargain shopping because it's still going to be a lot of money. But they're gonna at least get their ducks in a row.
Relatively bargains, though, compared to the, you know, down the line, they're all going to get a little bit cheaper as they go. Randall Cobb, reportedly, according to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, the Packers have told him that they want to sign him to a 5-year deal worth between $8 and $9 million annually. So call it nine, $45 million. That's not even your starting point because you're going to have to well exceed that if you're going to get Randall Cobb. Because if it's all the same, hey, I'll play with Aaron Rodgers, I believe, would be the choice of Randall Cobb.
I talked to Bob McGinn about for that story yesterday because I was doing my own Cobb thing, so we started talking.
It was fun. I was reading your two articles like, who's plagiarizing from the other guy here? I'm not kidding you. I mean, side by side, I was like, whoa, wait a minute. Kansas City, Oakland, Jacksonville, all the same guys or the same teams are
so
mentioned.
Me and Bob were going over contracts, and I said, okay, what do you think the Packers, 8 or 9? I said, well, how about if I construct a deal that averages like 11-2? And he goes, well, he's not going to stay. They're not going to pay him that. I said, okay, well, that's what it's going to take in the league.
That's where Ryan started his deal making.
So I said, all right. So I said, are they willing to pay him more than Jordy Nelson? He says, absolutely not, which the story said.
Right.
Okay, well, that's what you offer then, more than what Jordy Nelson's making. So it's all these little wheels are turning. And, you know, then we also talked about the Jimmy Sexton aspect. Interesting subplot. It gets
right because Gus's agent is Jimmy Sexton, and so is
Doug
Cobb's.
Marone. So.
Right, but I imagine Jimmy Sexton has a number of clients around the league. You know what I mean in that regard.
There's a lot of more coach candidates than players.
Yeah, but I think
that gets them on the phone. Boom,
it,
boom, boom.
It does, but in terms of Cobb, man, he's thinking, where can I get the biggest 3% out of this whole deal right here, right? I'm going to steer that guy. And heck, it may be here in Jacksonville. I mean,
sure.
For an agent, it doesn't really matter if the guy – I mean, I guess it does if you have a long-term vision. You want him to have success on the field because it perpetuates success. You get another big contract. Other players come to you and flock to you. But bottom line is, if he plays in a state without state income tax, Jimmy Sexton makes more too.
Well, he does, and it goes back. We had Leon Searcy on last week when Ryan was on with us, and his story about how he got to Jacksonville in free agency and that his agent got the Steelers on a phone on a three-way conversation and didn't tell them that Leon was on the phone, and maybe he was on the phone with the Steelers and maybe he wasn't. But you certainly have to know his agent knew what kind of offers were out there, and maybe the best deal he could get his client was going to be in Jacksonville, so he found a way to get Leon here, and it worked out well for Jacksonville and Leon Searcy.
Yeah, Bill Huber's guy who covers the Raiders, excuse me for a sec, by the way, for Scout.com, the Raiders site there, And he reported that they're prepared to offer Cobb a contract that averages about $11 million per year. You get the sense that
seems like the floor.
That, well, it may be, but you get the sense that the Raiders and the Jags may go head-to-head on several of these guys, mm-hmm. right? Certainly
Thomas
being another one. And who knows, you know, because if both of these teams miss out on Cobb, maybe there's another suitor. Who knows? Maybe Philly takes his cap space, right? Randall Cobb in Chip Kelly's offense would be a perfect fit. He loves all those wide receiver reverses and screens and all that kind of, you know, versatile players. So Macklin rolls off their books. You trade McCoy's $10 million roughly in cap space, and you go out there and you sign Randall Cobb. It makes a lot of sense. Don't know if they're going to, you know, that's going to be a high priority for them or not. Todd Harriman's, who you mentioned earlier, who he let go, said that Chip Kelly's philosophy is it's all about the quarterback and the O-line. This is according to Harriman, who played for him now for the last couple of years, and he said he just feels like all the rest of it, all the skill position guys, he can find guys. Mm-hmm. But as long as they
my system's going to make it work.
Right. Yeah. And we'll find out.
Which makes you think
that to the test.
Yeah, if they're freeing up a bunch of cap space, you would think it's because they want to get better on defense because Chip doesn't do much with that side of the ball. So you go, you trade for Kiko Alonso. If you're going to get in the Sue sweepstakes, now you have the money to go
do that
kind of thing.
They had O-line issues last year, too. So right. They may go out and try to sign those guys. And then, you know, what are they doing at quarterback? You know, Philadelphia, fascinating team to watch. A lot of people think they're certainly a division contender. They were last year, but you're talking about a team that you're not sure who's going to play quarterback for them. They're maybe their best offensive weapons about to get dealt, and they're having a lot of veterans are rolling off the books over there.
I mean, we're talking about Sue, who'd want his role defined before he agrees to a
sure.
contract. Let's say you're Randall Cobb, Philadelphia calls. First question is, after the money, who's playing quarterback?
Good
I mean,
point.
Is it Foles? Are you really serious about getting up to get Mariota? I want to know because that'll impact my decision.
Absolutely. It's another consideration you got to factor in. 641-1010 if you'd like to get on board. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Hauer, and Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I'd like to invite everybody out to Gamble Rogers Middle School on Saturday afternoon down in St. Augustine as the Thunderbirds make their spring soccer debut. Coach Dempsey back with the reins in hand. Look out. Final seven games of my coaching career. We only have seven games this spring. It's kind of disappointing.
Just seven?
Yeah, usually we play like 10 in the fall, 10 in the spring. And they have seven teams in our division. So that means every week somebody's got to have a game off or a week off. And then you've got, you know, spring break, you've got Easter, got all these things. So we have seven games. And it's gotten to the point now where, like, the complexity of the game surpasses my ability to teach the complexity of the game, right? So, I mean, I'm doing my best. I got a great group of kids that I've coached, many of them for 4 or 5 years all together. It's been a lot of fun doing it, but I've gotten to the point now with football season so busy, so I can only coach half the year anyway, and I don't know if I'm helping them at all. Of course, I've thought this for the last 3 years. I'm thinking about hanging up the whistle after this spring season, Ryan. And if that's the case, I only have one son. I doubt I'm going to be, if the knees are balky now, I doubt they're going to hold up for grandkids to coach the grandkids. So this could be it, man. I mean,
why would you want to do that?
Have you ever coached anything?
No.
No interest?
No interest.
No desire?
I do enough second guessing in this.
Tony, you coached something, didn't you, right?
I've coached a little bit of whatever, T-ball, that kind of thing from time to time. But it's I have a friend of mine really into soccer, and he used to work at the YMCA, and he wants to get back into coaching, like, youth soccer or whatever, and he's begging me. He's like, just be my assistant coach.
You would be good at
it. The weeks where I'm not going to be able to be there, you could handle it. I'm like, look, dude, if you sign us up, I'll be there. Like,
truly,
I'll participate,
it's a lot of fun.
Whatever, yeah. I don't have a problem doing it. I enjoy hanging out with the kids, and obviously I love soccer, so I'd have an absolute blast doing that kind of thing.
Don't get me wrong. The kids are awesome. The game, at that level for me, I have a blast doing it, but, you know, we practice twice a week, which is a big step up. We've been practicing once a week for years, and so twice a week practices and then a game, and that's really the only time commitment. It's a lot of fun, but I did a little machine pitch baseball back in the day. I helped out a guy who said, hey, same deal, be my assistant coach, And then after about two games, he stopped coming.
Right.
So it was left to my own devices that year. I can't recall what our final record was, but let's just say this. As a baseball coach, I'm a much better soccer coach.
Right. All right? Well, everyone had a good time, man. That's what
I matters. Hope so. Yeah. I hope I didn't traumatize the little kiddies. Michael Shoddy is an NFL beat writer for Bleacher Report. And what?
He calls himself a beat reporter.
Is he not? All right, whatever he is. He is writing.
He likes this. He really likes the Bastion Jags.
First O'Halloran scoff of the day comes late in the process, really, at 10:45 East Coast time.
I had the under.
Who didn't have the under, Tyler? Does he really like the Bastion Jags? Is he a Jag basher?
He's just likes the, you know, who's where are the tarps? I can't believe the game's on.
All right. Well, I didn't realize that about this guy. I guess I don't read much Bleacher Report. Bleacher Report. But regardless, he said that sources tell him, if you take that for what it's worth, that the Eagles would have cut LeSean McCoy, and they were just calling around to find anything for him. It has been reported that the deal took 20 minutes to consummate. I don't doubt that. I do think, I mean, we've talked about it, right? Is he on the market? If they can't get anything for him, that's an exorbitant cap hit. So you ask, why would anyone give up anything for a player that's clearly on the trading block and is a candidate to get cut? You hear that every year, right? And I always think, well, there's a very clear reason. Because if they cut him,
they're not going to be able to get him.
He might not want to go to Buffalo. Yeah. Yes, if you control the process, you have to give something up. Now, Kiko Alonso, to me, it's a pretty big chip to give up here.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, the question of the day, and we want you to weigh in on Twitter today at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony. We ask you, if the deal goes through, LeSean McCoy goes to Buffalo, Kiko Alonso goes to Philly, who gets a better end of the deal? What do you think?
I think the Eagles did because they clear off a lot of that cap space at a position that traditionally it's easily replaceable. Maybe not up to his standard right away, but you get Alonso, who was a 4-3 linebacker. Bills moving to a 3-4, so probably not a fit there. Let's say he doesn't come back to form from a knee injury. You're not off the hook for any money, right?
Eagles a 3-4 team, by the way, too.
Yeah,
so
that's the work around that, I guess.
Chip Kelly clearly feels like this guy is going to be able to fit into what they want to do defensively.
Yeah, and if, let's say, they add Sue, are they moving toward a more of a...
Maybe back to a 4-3?
Yeah, you know, because they're getting rid of Cole, who was an outside linebacker who couldn't
right.
do anything. So.
But they got Michael Kendricks in the middle, who's a really good player as well. So you'd have potentially two really good inside linebackers. I think if you can play middle in a 4-3, chances are you can play inside linebacker in a 3-4.
Are you thick enough to take on some guys, but I think the Eagles won the trade.
I do too. Presuming Kiko Alonso makes a full return to health, right? I mean, he did have a torn ACL.
I give him the edge just because of the flexibility the deal creates for them.
That's a big part of it, right? You save roughly $10 million in cap space. Go out and sign C.J. Spiller as a for instance, all right? Put him in that system where, by the way, McCoy averaged, I believe, 4.2 yards a carry last year. If you want, on a week-to-week basis, watching him through the eyes of fantasy football, he didn't have, I mean, he ended up compiling some decent numbers by the end of the year. It was a far cry from the season before, though, in terms of week-in, week-out effectiveness when he led the league in rushing. I agree with you. If Kiko Alonso is healthy, and we can say this about anything, if LeSean McCoy tears his knee up, I mean, anybody, but going forward, if you presume Alonso is going to bounce back and he's young, ACL is not a death sentence anymore. Plenty of guys come back from an ACL. So if he comes back and he's the player that he was before the deal, I think they win it easily. They easily win the deal. It's fascinating, the response we've gotten on Twitter so far, because it's across the spectrum. Tony, what about you?
You know, for me, I think that in the long run, Philadelphia probably got the better end of this deal. But I think it's fascinating from a league perspective what is going on in Philadelphia with Chip Kelly and... You know, that LeSean McCoy has felt this coming for 2 weeks. That last year, DeSean Jackson, who is, I mean, you talk about guys that are perfect fits for what Chip Kelly wants to do in his offense. DeSean Jackson is as good a player as you could find to fit in that system that Chip Kelly wants to run. He's out of town last offseason. Jeremy Maclin looks like he's probably going to wind up walking away from this team this year. They lose LeSean McCoy. They cut Trent Cole. They cut Kerry Williams. I'm curious how veterans around the league are perceiving and looking at this Philadelphia Eagles team right now and what Chip Kelly is doing with Philadelphia. Because obviously whatever was there, and he had a lot of pieces that work really well with what he wants to do with that offense, they're gone. He's clearing house of these guys, and it's not like they're no-name guys. This is DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, LeSean McCoy, potentially that he's letting walk out the door, trading one of them, basically cutting another, and letting the other one leave via free agency. I'm curious what the talk around the league is about the Philadelphia Eagles right now, specifically Chip Kelly and what his plan is for that team.
And I think, as Ryan was saying, in the case of a guy like Ndamukong Suh or maybe a Randall Cobb, you go there, you know you've got options in the same price bracket. You know other teams are willing to pay you the same. So if you're Randall Cobb and you say, I don't know who's going to be playing quarterback, maybe that turns you away. If you are brand X guy who doesn't, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Money talks in the end. And you can hear all about how Chip Kelly, it's my way or the highway. Hey, it's that way with a lot of coaches. You know, there's probably more player-friendly coaches than Chip Kelly if everything you read is to be believed. But in the end, guy comes in, thinks, oh, it's not going to be my problem. I'm going to come in. I'm going to get paid. I'm going to perform. And, I don't think many guys think that way. I think guys are chasing the dollar for the most part. But as Ryan said, if you're a big-name guy with a lot of options, maybe it's something that you factor in along the way.
And I think he believes, and I honestly think that Chip Kelly believes this, it's the reason he's willing to trade a guy like LeSean McCoy. He doesn't need that. He feels like his system is going to be good enough to get it done, that if he gets the right quarterback and, as Harriman said, that offensive line, he doesn't care who's playing wide receiver. I'm going to scheme him open. He doesn't care who's playing tight end. I'm going to scheme him open. I don't care who's playing running back. I'm going to get him in space. That's what my scheme, my plan does. I don't have to pay somebody $10 million to make that happen. I don't need somebody as talented as DeSean Jackson or Jeremy Maclin to make that kind of thing happen and work with my offense. I do believe that that's how Chip Kelly views this whole thing. I wonder if at some point he gets burned by that mentality and that attitude, because players do make plays in this league. I'm not saying that he doesn't have a great system, but players make plays, and he's letting a lot of really talented ones walk out the door on that offense.
I mean, my guess is that Chip Kelly is trying to free up money for an extension for Chris Brzezinski.
You think so? Bring him in. Bring him in. I'm sure he is. I'm sure that's what it is. At this point,
I've been saving that line all day.
I bet you have.
And by the way, from the other perspective,
you could have kept saving it.
Right.
You laughed.
A little bit. Sympathy.
From a Buffalo perspective, I think Rex is the same way. I think that Rex knows what his system needs to be on defense.
I think defensively, right. I agree.
He believes in what he's going to do. He's probably going to bring in a guy like David Harris or somebody like that that he trusts, that he believes in. They had a lot of guys that were kind of that inside linebacker type guy. And Rex decided this was an opportunity to go get a premier offensive playmaker for this team. They still got to figure out what's going on at quarterback, but so does Philadelphia.
I think it's great for the NFL. I'm not invested in the Eagles. If I'm invested in the Eagles, maybe I'm not sure what to feel about it. But I think Chip Kelly has...
I enjoyed the meltdown.
You think it's a meltdown?
No, from the Eagles fans last night. I was just giddy watching the meltdown.
I think when you look at Kelly, look, Kelly's a different cat, right? He's into, you know, different ways. He has sleep schedules for these guys, how many hours of sleep he wants them to get, what he wants them to eat, he's very much hands-on with a lot of stuff that, you know, is outside the box thinking in terms of preparation for the season, preparation for your body, and things like that. So he's got a clear vision of what he wants to do, and it's a little bit unique from the other coaches around the National Football League. So that makes it fun. Who wants to see the same exact thing in every single place around the NFL?
Well, and my thought, too, watching the way that things have gone in the last couple weeks for Philadelphia is it's not exactly the same, but it feels almost a little bit like Coughlin when he came here to Jacksonville and trying to adjust to that NFL style. And the success they had early, you know, 5 years into it, you could start feeling the players go, all right, you know, we've had enough of this. And I question whether the way Chip Kelly wants to do things, if we get a couple more years into this thing, if players start saying, look, this isn't working, doesn't mean he can't learn something and get better at what he's doing. But I do think his personality is grating with players, and that's why you're seeing these great guys willing to walk away from Philadelphia right now.
Well, I don't think McCoy had a choice. You know, he got dealt. LeSean McCoy.
But there was something going on behind the scenes.
There may have been, but every report you hear is that LeSean McCoy, who grew up in the state of Pennsylvania, went to Pitt.
I know.
Plays for Philly, never played football outside of the state of Pennsylvania, never played for a team based outside of the state, is upset about the deal. He's shocked. It's like a gut punch. I don't know if he would have chosen to leave, even if you are at odds with your coach. You know, I just think it's something that will play out over time. But Chip Kelly's averaged 10 wins in his first 2 years in Philadelphia. So
sure.
As long as you're winning games.
His ultimate downfall is going to be the fact that he sees personnel control. It's one thing to get the guy, be given the players and scheme it up and score points, but you're now making the final call. Going to be a disaster.
What? Because it's too much for one guy to handle in today's NFL?
Too much for one guy to handle. He has no experience doing it, even in a supporting role.
But I like, again, from an observer's point of view, I'm glad he has it. Because he knows exactly what he wants, whether you and I agree it's the right thing. And he's going to go out there. Now he's got the wherewithal to not have anything stand in his way to go get it. So
come
make
on
it
to three, baby.
Let's see what happens. What's that?
Come on to three.
Come on to three.
We got something you may want, buddy.
What are you talking about?
Draft.
In the draft.
Oh, come on to number three. I got you. I didn't know what the heck you were talking about. Thought this was a Giants-related
statement. All we need is Tennessee to pass up on him at two.
All right.
We got you, Chip.
This date in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL. Coming up next, Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Hauer, and Fat Tony here with you on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
A rousing episode of this date in football history, momentarily in 3, 2... The state of football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. And what a day it was. March 4th, 1972, as we welcome into the world the bouncing baby boy named Robert Smith, who would go on to play for the Ohio State Buckeyes and the Minnesota Vikings. Lead the league in rushing. His first 4 years in the league, didn't do a whole lot. Had a lot of injuries Robert Smith did with the Vikings, and cost him a lot of games. And then from that point on, pretty much played the entirety of his last four seasons, went over 1,000 yards every season, and capped it off with a 1,521-yard season in his last campaign. Never scored 10 touchdowns in a year. The Vikings always had a guy like Leroy Horde in there, stealing goal line carries from him. And then promptly, after leading the league in rushing at the age of 28, walked away, said, hey, I've made enough money, I've been smart with my money, and I'm healthy. And rare is the running back who makes it to that point that can say those things.
Right.
I remember at the time, Tony, that he was talking about going to medical school. Because I believe he was pre-med, I want to say, at Ohio State. At least had an inclination that he wanted to be something in the medical field. And obviously now you see him on ESPN. It's a lot easier money there. You don't have to go back and get a master's or a doctorate for all that kind of stuff.
No
so
doubt.
Happy birthday, Robert Smith, 43 years young today. This state football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry, located on Gate Parkway. If you need cosmetic work done, if you're in the market for a family dentist, maybe the custom fit, stop snoring, mouth guard by Somnomed, call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 or visit jamesjmccall.com for more information on a complete list of comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda drive around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
The Dallas Cowboys agreed to a contract extension with wide receiver Cole Beasley yesterday afternoon. The two sides agreed to a new four-year deal worth $13.1 million. Beasley caught 37 passes for 420 yards and four touchdowns for the Cowboys last year. Pro days are getting started this week. I think tomorrow is actually Nebraska, but yesterday Auburn had theirs, and there was only one head coach in attendance, the New England Patriots head man Bill Belichick, who apparently had a very close eye on wide receiver Sammy Coates, who is expected to be drafted in the first two rounds of the NFL draft. Of course, the New England Patriots have pick number 32 there in the first round. Free agent wide receiver Brian Hartline visited with the Cleveland Browns yesterday. Today, he is expected to visit with the Chicago Bears. Wide receiver Jacoby Jones has already visited Cincinnati and Tennessee. He plans to visit with San Diego next. And free agent safety Tyvon Branch has a visit set today with the division rival Indianapolis Colts.
Tyvon Branch, a hell of a player who just cannot stay healthy. I mean, he's had like three serious injuries in his career. I want to say he's like 28 years old, something like that.
Yeah.
I think Tyvon Branch may be the best strong safety in the league all around. I know everybody's in love with Cam Chancellor because he puts those devastating hits, but in terms of coverage, rushing the passer, supporting the run game, Tyvon Branch is a hell of a player. But he's at this point now where can't even stay on the Raiders because he can't stay out of the training room. Mm-hmm. It's the way it goes.
A couple of those guys on every team. But Tony mentioned pro days. Today, yes. Arkansas, Mississippi State, Purdue, Texas A&M, Weber State. Tomorrow, Nebraska, Mississippi, Clemson.
Okay, USC's coming up, too, this week, I think. Maybe this weekend, is it? Possibly?
I don't know. I'd have to look.
I'm pretty sure Johnny O.
March.
Indicated somebody from Jaguars.com.
March 11th.
So that's coming up.
From today.
All right, coming up next week, then. All right. Yeah. There you go. I think somebody's going to go out and cover the Leonard Williams aspect.
I know they're at Nebraska tomorrow.
They are? Okay, so yeah. Randy Gregory's this week.
Yeah.
They did a really good job last year, giving you video on the quarterback workouts and whatnot. So this year, obviously, you're going to focus on some of those pass rushers who the Jags may be looking at with the third overall pick. 6-4-1-10-10. Let's get back to the phone line. CJ has been hanging on. He's next here on Jaguars Today. Good morning, CJ. How are you?
I'm great, man. Hey, I just got two things, man. Jacksonville fans and just people that just cover the Jaguars have to get out that mentality. Like, we don't deserve the top free agent. We deserve Donovan Sue. We deserve DeMarco Murray. We got too much uncertainty on our defensive line right now, regardless of what happened in 2014 season. So we need to go ahead and make that move. Go ahead and get DeMarco Murray because we don't have a running back. I mean, we have a fullback in Garrett Hart and Nard Robinson goes down with a shoestring tackle. I mean, Puzlesdy and the linebackers, I mean, the linebacker we have is Telvin Smith. So we need somebody to shore up that defensive line. And then with him and Marks and Miller and everybody, we should be fine. That's all I got, man.
Mostly accurate points.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the Jaguar fans feel like they don't deserve these guys.
It's not about, I mean, there's probably 32 fan bases feel like they deserved Sue.
Sure, if you have the money to spend.
Yeah, so it's...
I think what he's saying is, historically...
Shoot high.
Right, sure, right. And historically, the Jags haven't been in there on Mario Williams. Mm-hmm. Some of these other huge name guys that you know are going to get the mega deals out there. And... certainly, I think, first of all, you can't ascribe most of that to the Caldwell regime as GM because he's only been here for a couple of years, and every indication is that's out the window now. They have to spend. They don't have to spend it all this year. They got to spend some of it this year, and, I mean, why wouldn't they want to? I don't think there's anything holding them back, Shad Khan's telling them to go out there, let's compete, we need to win football games. Look, he understands you got to spend money to make money in this league. You got to spend money to put the championship product, or at least come closer to having that product. A bunch of them. Sue, DeMarco Murray, any of the top wide receivers, a couple of the top tight ends, a couple of the top offensive tackles, Devin McCourty, probably a few names I'm skipping over. What do you think about, we talked about him before, probably a few weeks since you and I talked about him, Pernell McPhee. Kind of growing on me a little bit because of the size to me indicates that even though he played in a 3-4, he's big enough to play defensive end for you. He's been a very effective pass rusher in limited duty, but he stands to make a pretty good chunk of change as well. You think any interest from the Jags?
I think there could be. They list him at 6'2", 274. It's been interesting to see how they envision playing him. He could be one of those. I mean, he's going to get a big contract somewhere.
Right.
You would sort of said, from his perspective, do you sort of want to stay with a 3-4?
Possibly.
If all things are equal.
He was more of a 4-3 guy coming out of college. Mm-hmm. At least he was scouted as a defensive end, primarily. The scouting reports I looked up on him earlier this week all coming out listed him as a DN.
274, is he a Leo? I would say, okay, that's what you're probably envisioning.
I think that's right. If you're going to bring him in, I think that's what your idea is for him. Because I think, in a 4-3, I think you're wasting him by playing at strong side linebacker.
They say the company line here is you can never have enough defensive linemen. You can never have enough pass rushers. Well, you're only allowed to have 46 guys active on game day.
So for now.
Yeah, you can't sign everybody.
You see where did I see the story yesterday? You see the...
competition committees.
Is that it? Right, the competition committee is going to look at no inactive, well, certainly for Thursdays, but possibly, you know, maybe something going forward that, that they look at eliminating altogether.
I think everybody should be eligible to play on it
too.
Because I remember this is like 10 years ago when this started, Joe Gibbs saying, I'm not writing the check. These guys are playing. These guys are, we're still paying them.
They're getting paid.
We might as well put them in uniform.
And I guess, Ryan, the idea is that every team's going to have some degree of injuries coming into the game. So if you've got two players that are hurt and I've got six that are hurt, and we open up the entire roster with eight inactives, we're still both playing our best 45 guys, or at least best healthy 45 guys. But I agree with that sentiment that you just expressed. You're paying these guys, they're on the roster. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. They always talk about, you know, what a tough thing. Oh, do we keep an extra linebacker up for special teams? Do we keep an extra O lineman, whatever? Just take that whole thing out of the equation.
And it would invite more specialization into the game, which is fine. But yeah, everybody says, well, how about if a team has more injured guys? I've never seen a case where a team was unable to dress 46 guys.
Right.
Because they just drop a guy on Saturday, elevate a guy.
So at the very least, you would think you'd have a couple more healthy bodies mm-hmm. available to you.
Yeah, and I think they're talking a little bit about allowing a second guy in short-term IR. It's going to be interesting to see where that goes currently and into the future because I think, I don't want to say unlimited for an 8-week thing, but maybe you allow one 8-week guy, one 4-week guy. So
and it's also I saw speculated or proposed, not necessarily through the competition committee. It might have been a writer who was putting this out there that said, you know, maybe a separate protocol entirely for concussions, mm-hmm. right? Like a concussion exempt list, like you get the commissioner's exempt list, where you could, this guy doesn't count, he's in the concussion protocol, and until he's out, you can replace him with no salary cap penalty kind of thing, you know, and yeah, I don't understand why. I mean, every other sport, you can get hurt, you can come back in a couple of weeks, and I guess they, you know, trying to manage a salary cap, you can only have so many guys that count against your number.
And also is you just GMs and coaches in every sport are going to get away with as much as they can for as long as they can. So who's the first guy to abuse the IR? Who's the first guy to abuse the concussion list? So I think what they're worried about is they want to make sure they have certain protocols so these luxuries aren't abused.
Right, I got what you're saying. Yeah, because there's nothing that it stops a player from being complicit and saying, yeah, I'm a little dizzy this week.
Because if I'm the player, I'm still getting paid.
Right, I'm getting paid as long as you're keeping me around and I'm cashing that check. If you're a fringe guy, you would be willing to say just about anything to keep that spot. All right, 6-4-1-10-10. We'll continue along, take a look at free agency impending for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Big player-for-player trade with McCoy and Alonzo proposed, at least. Nothing can be finalized until next Tuesday. We ask you today, if it does go down, who's the big winner in that deal? Is it the Eagles? Is it the Bills? Share your thoughts on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at Ryan O'Halloran, at 1010XL Fat Tony, and on the Jaguars Today Facebook page. It's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, we continue along this morning on a Metro Rooter Wednesday. If you got a plumbing issue at your house, at your place of business, Metro Rooter, the one call you need to make and your problems will be taken care of. All size plumbing jobs, in-home, commercial, even industrial, septic systems, you name it. If it has to do with plumbing, Metro Rooter has got the solution. With same-day service, that includes the weekends, the right people and the right equipment have been serving Jacksonville since 1978. Visit MetroRooter.com or call 695-1911 and get those plumbing issues flushed right out of your life. 695-1911 for Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor on Jaguars Today. 641-1010 is our number. I got this tweet a moment ago, guys, from Michael John at MJ Farrow on Twitter. Said, if Mario Williams was willing to go to Buffalo, I would think any player would want to come to Jacks. I would typically agree, and my response was, pretty much whoever's willing to spend the most money is going to get the player. In most cases, there are cases where a few where players have taken less to play for a contender, or if the money's close, they go to the contender side of it or where they're comfortable. But the difference in this case, I don't remember how many teams were in serious pursuit of Mario Williams, but I know there weren't nearly as many at the time that were willing to go as high as Buffalo went. So they seem to be out there. They seem to, as I recall, make an offer Trying to think back, who you remember, Ryan, who was in the mix back then?
I just Googled the day that he signed,
okay.
And I'm looking at the Wire story. It does not mention Buffalo outbid team X, Y, and Z, or Mario Williams visited these two teams. So, like you're saying last segment, Buffalo might have been negotiated against itself.
Right, and this was the year, I believe it was Jeremy Mincy was a free agent, right?
March 2012.
And Chicago was very interested in Mincy, and then the Jags swooped in and gave him the contract to keep him here. And, you know, the difference here with Sue is, yeah, the Jags may offer a ton of money, but so will this city, and so will that city, and so will the other city.
Yeah, the story says the Bills flew Williams to Buffalo from Houston on a private jet shortly after the free agency period opened, so... I mean, I was
right. They struck, and like you said, I tend to agree. Dominic and Sue. Now, a lot of that gets worked out over the 3-day period starting Saturday, but he's going to want to test the waters. How many? All right, how many people are serious? And once that, you know, there may be teams that are quote unquote serious about it,
mm-hmm.
and once they see what the actual sticker price is going to be, they may be not as serious. Maybe, you know, there may be 5 teams willing to bid the same kind of money. Maybe the Jags are one of them, but that means potentially there are 4 other teams in the mix. I'm just throwing a number out, but I think that's reasonable with all the scuttlebutt we've heard about Sue, and is he the best free agent to hit the market, at least offensively, or defensively, excuse me, since Reggie White did? And I think it's probably the case. I think he's a better player than Mario Williams. It doesn't always have the stats to show it because of the nature of his position, but I think most people would tell you then Dominick Sue's a better, more of an impact player than Mario Williams and has been throughout the course of his NFL career.
You know, and has stayed healthy.
Yeah.
So that's a plus. So, but I mean, it's going to be fascinating. Like I said, last hour is Sue's camp. They probably have let teams know, okay, this is what we're looking at. And let's see how many teams say, okay, we're not going to do that, but here's an offer if you want to circle back to us. Okay, well, that stretched things out for a couple of days, and you know, it'll be a great thing to follow.
Jameis Winston in Tampa for a visit with the Glazers.
Pretty early for a visit.
I guess everyone said like an unprecedented visit. Why wouldn't you though if you're Tampa?
I mean, you're only allowed that one visit into the facility, so obviously they felt comfortable with the homework they'd done.
But you could go work him out.
Can't.
You can't go to Florida State and work him out?
He couldn't work out in Tampa.
In Tampa?
Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, they'll go to his pro day. They'll probably circle back to FSU.
To me,
the pick has been made.
Provided that they're comfortable with him as a guy. They know they want to take him, right? Mm-hmm. And this is the owner basically signing off on, okay, he's convinced me that he's no longer going to get a free drink from the fountain or jump up on a table in the mess hall or
where's the next Publix?
Whatever.
Where's the nearest Publix?
The case may be. So.
Well, and if he got in that kind of trouble, you don't need to have the visit after that. Like, if that's what would prevent you from drafting him, then that's what's going to prevent you from drafting him. And that's why you have Marcus Mariota and still, and you do whatever other visits you're going to do. But it certainly feels like Tampa Bay has pretty much made the decision for now what direction they're going with that number one pick. And Winston was funny coming out of there talking about can't wait to throw the ball to Vincent Jackson. And it certainly feels pretty much like a done deal to the Bucs at number one.
Yes. With that, no surprise whatsoever that every mock draft has him at the top. Lance Zierlein of NFL.com. Who's he at? He's out of Houston, right? I want to say he was with the Chronicle for a long time before he went to work for NFL.com, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that's where his home base is. But he's got Winston, Leonard Williams, Dante Fowler. Do we really need to go any further than that at this point in time? Until we see, I guess we should scroll down and see who's available with our new pick,
20?
Number 20.
Yeah.
Right. Number 20 was Kevin Johnson, the cornerback from Wake Forest. Here are the players that go off the board. In this scenario, it's funny. You and I talked about this. We both heard Hacker bring this up yesterday. He found a mock draft on Sporting News. And he said,
How excited were you when you found that mock draft?
How excited was Hacker?
I'm asking you to do a Hacker.
Found this mock draft on Sporting News. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? All right.
That was worth it.
Thank you. I wasn't sure where he was going with that. Oh, you just wanted me to do a little hacker. Yeah. I got you. All right. Not a problem.
Oh, out of the box.
There's a little out of the box thinking going on here. All right. So, so he asked Joe and T-Wig to guess which kind of out of the box player would be there. And Tony and I, unbeknownst to each other, were both listening at the same time. And as soon as he laid it out that way, we both said Bud Dupree out of Kentucky, because it's going to be a pass rusher. They're not going to reach for an offensive tackle at this. But again, it's someone's mock draft, so they could mock anything they like there. But if, you know, what, 3 weeks ago?
Dupree's a hot guy right now.
Right, and 3 weeks ago, Dante Fowler would have been the outside-the-box guy. Right? And then all of a sudden, he gained some traction, and now you can't practically find a mock draft that doesn't have him coming to Jacksonville with the third pick in the draft. So I agree with you. But in this scenario, Bud Dupree goes 22nd to Pittsburgh. Could you imagine a scenario?
Oh, if they got to go back to 20 and still get Bud Dupree.
Go to 20, get a second rounder, a first next year, and maybe a third next year because McCoy. Hey, and throw Kiko Alonso at us while you're at it, right? I don't think we're going to pry the ex-Oregon Duck away
from
Chip Kelly. But nevertheless, the bottom portion of the first round, if you're just playing that game, what if Philly traded up? Eric Flowers out of Miami. I told you, Tony, I really liked him, and then he goes to the combine, and I watch him on that one kick step drill, and he looked like a big lumbering oaf. And this has been the extent of my, quote, film study on Eric Flowers.
Every now and then you just see something you can't unsee.
And I'm just like, I can't shake this image of this big lumbering, oafish, pass-blocking drop that he tried to execute at the combine, and I just had visions of Blake Bortles getting blown up play after play after play. But he had Flowers going 21st to Cincinnati. He had Bud Dupree, as we talked about, out of Kentucky, going 22nd. DJ Humphreys, the Florida offensive tackle, whom I think Daniel Jeremiah ranks as his top offensive lineman in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Cedric Abui, who we talked about out of Texas A&M. Benardrick McKinney, another really good linebacking prospect, could be on the Jags' radar. You know, again, in the trade-down scenario, you got to open yourself up to other positions being possible. Todd Gurley going at 31. Melvin Gordon not going in the first round here. So in this scenario, maybe he falls to the Jags in round two, but Todd Gurley, let's say they pulled this trade off, Ryan. They were able to sign a pass rusher in the draft, and a guy like Bud Dupree didn't fall to them at number 20. Could you see the Jags doing something like that, accumulating a bunch of picks and then taking a guy who has potential to be a top 10 talent in this draft?
Yes.
But he fell because of injury concern.
You know, people would say they did it last year. Colvin, different round, a lot
obviously,
of different money.
Obviously.
But if Gurley, if they get a lot of their needs assessed next week, it opens that possibility up.
And you're not just taking Gurley. You're taking Gurley plus what you get in the second round plus the next year's first in that scenario. Because there's no way, in my opinion, the Jags are trading down to 20 without the base including the first this year, the first next year, and a second round pick. Okay. Mm-hmm. Plus probably something else thrown in to the mix, but that's the bare minimum.
And what also it does, let's say you're at 20 and you take McKinney, at linebacker. Okay. Now you have 2 second round picks. Well, then do you feel like, okay, the Coleman kid from Indiana, who Greg Gabriel had his top rated running back, the Indiana guy. So, you can, although people may be against a running back in the second round, I'm not one of those people. If you have 2 second round picks, I think you should be more open to that.
Makes it a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. You know, whether you're getting with the first year second round picks or even the second one, the second round has been a pretty bountiful round for quality running backs in the last few years.
Yes, and it has.
This is considered a pretty decent group of running backs. The wide receivers sometimes overshadow it, but I guess it's a good year to need skill positions.
I've seen at least two big boards that still have Todd Gurley among their top 10 prospects in this draft. I think I would be curious, and maybe it's something we're getting ready for free agency right now, and that's what this week has been about, and probably the first part of next week will be too, and then we'll start turning our attention once we have a better idea of what the Jags have done in free agency towards the NFL draft and start getting some of these experts on again, but start asking, all right, if he didn't have the ACL, where's Todd Gurley on your board? And how much is he being affected by that injury? And we talk about it with a guy like Kiko Alonso today. players are recovering from that type of injury better than they ever have before. So for a guy, if you thought he was one of the five best players in the draft, when would an NFL team be willing to pull a trigger on a guy that could be potentially that talented in this draft?
And that's the big if, right?
Right.
We don't know how Dave Caldwell feels about Todd Gurley. In fact, I talked to him about Gurley in London, and he was like, you know, look, I need to see more tape on this guy. This is prior to the injury. He goes, because I know this. You know, Georgia opened up some pretty damn big holes in the games I see for Todd Gurley.
Sure.
That's not to say that further tape study, Dave Caldwell would say, wow, Todd Gurley is a freak of nature, and we'd be happy to have him with the number three pick in the draft had he remained healthy.
If Gurley was healthy, you look at the draft order now, if he was healthy, 15 to San Francisco if they let Frank Gore go away?
I don't know. Carlos Hyde, they drafted in the second round last year, so I don't think it's...
San Diego at 17, what's their running back situation?
That's certainly a possibility because you got Ryan Matthews is a free agent. Donald Brown got cut, and Danny Woodhead is coming off of a torn ACL, I believe, right, last year. So
he tore up his knee.
They're wide open to take a running back, absolutely.
Can't you hear Mel Kiper in your head already on ESPN the night of the draft? San Diego gets on the clock. He's like, now this is the first chance we could see running back going here to San Diego. Like, I can hear it in my head right now.
Tony's been
Todd
working
Gurley,
on his
Mel Todd Kiper. Gurley.
All right, we come back. We'll take a look at your response to the fan feedback question of the day. If it goes down as proposed, who gets the better end of the McCoy for Alonzo deal, Philadelphia or Buffalo? Some spirited opinions on both sides of the aisle on that one. Mike Dempsey, Ryan O'Halloran, and Fat Tony here with you. It's Jaguars Today on a Metro Rooter Wednesday, 1010 XL, 92.5 FM. All right, critical knowledge for all of you out there. I am 2 hours and 20 minutes away from the first tee this afternoon. Yes, indeed.
By the way, another big difference between Dempsey and I. You get tweeted by the grammar police.
Yes.
About 10 minutes ago.
I blocked him.
Mike's immediate reaction is to block him. I laughed about it as soon as I saw it and almost wanted to tweet something to see if I could get a response. It's almost a challenge for me now to see if I can get caught by the grammar police on Twitter.
It's not the first time, but Doom will tell you, go grammar police on me, I will block you.
You don't like the grammar police stuff.
I mean, I'm actually, in most of my tweets, I try to use as little of the abbreviations and all that. I try to use, like, if I write an email to somebody, I put your name, comma, drop, you know, space, drop down, write, mm-hmm. I write paragraph, I write like you write, you're like you're supposed to write.
Right.
And, you know, because everyone now is just like, it's all one line, it's all crammed together, you know, it's like, hey, how about an indentation, how about a, you know, skipping down before you put thanks, comma, and then you skip down and put your name, that's how you write.
Right, but it's a big difference between you and I. I think it's hilarious if I get caught by the grammar police, you're like, block, I don't need
like,
this.
I don't need it, it might throw this in, because I was like, is this somebody local? I clicked on it, and it's like, all they do apparently is troll Twitter to find someone using whomever or whoever improperly. And so they can go bite me.
And the crazy thing about that
is
the grammar police somehow has like 19,000 followers.
I know.
Who's following this guy?
What joy do you get out of following
the grammar
police?
I want to know what he's doing. I want to see all the people he's correcting across this great nation of ours.
Boy. Discum, go to grammar police.
How did you correct that athlete?
Right.
On Twitter. Oh my goodness. Don't even get started with all how that went down. Just reading the one I saw yesterday. What was it that Darren Sproles tweeted? I'm going to have to find this now. It was terrific. He said something to the effect of, and this wasn't grammar, but something to the effect of, nothing surprises me anymore in the NFL.
I'm shocked.
I'm shocked at this deal. Did you see that?
That was awesome.
What in the world do you just contradicting yourself in the span of 140 characters? It's almost impossible to do, Darren Sproles.
That's awesome.
Nothing surprises me anymore, exclamation point. I'm shocked that this deal happened.
Multiple exclamation points.
Right. What in the world is going on? All right, today we asked you, courtesy of the Tom Bush family of dealerships, who wins the deal between Buffalo and Philadelphia if the proposed trade goes down, sending LeSean McCoy to the Bills and Kiko Alonso, the young linebacker, back to the Eagles. Tony, what kind of feedback did we get on that one?
From my average Jaguar, based on how annoyed both fan bases were last night, I'd say it's a fairly even trade, and man, do I love watching Eagles fans be upset. From Nick, we got Bills, clearly the elite talent of LeSean McCoy doesn't come around to often from Mike, the Bills should trade for Paul Posluszny right now. I'm sure the Jaguars would listen.
That's second tour of duty for Paz there.
Yeah. From Welp, we got it's a draw. Kiko has injury issues. McCoy has a lot of mileage.
That's legit, but I do think it's a different story if Alonso is full strength by training camp.
Could be. Could be. From Isaiah, the Bills got the better end. Kiko had a torn ACL. The Bills got a top five running back. From Brian, short-term Bills, long-term Eagles, as long as Alonso can stay healthy. And from Brandon, Eagles, Kiko is young and will last longer.
I think that's ultimately, I mean, you know, if you look at the...
If Kiko is the player he was his rookie year...
And he plays that way for 10 years?
Right.
I mean, I think it's a no-brainer as far as that goes. I had somebody tweet me last night about it. When I said I thought it was a good deal for Philadelphia, and they said, look, it's basically you've got the two most replaceable positions in the National Football League. Well, maybe, but I mean, you may be able to find a serviceable player at either position, but LeSean McCoy led the league in rushing 2 years ago. He was one of the better players at his position. I think Kiko Alonso, in his one full season, was probably one of the top five inside linebackers in the NFL, certainly productivity-wise, was all over the field for Buffalo. And, you know, again, you get back to that, and you could find a running back. And that's part of the equation, too. What do they do with that extra $10 million or so in cap space? Do they replace LeSean McCoy with a cheaper alternative and then add another starter somewhere along the line? Quite possible.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're going to be a big player in free agency, but probably not at that position.
Byron Maxwell, they are said to be
you
one
heard
of the
that
top
basically
pursuers.
At the combine.
Right. And they cut Kerry Williams, who started for them for the last 2 years. Maxwell's a nice player. Boy, he's going to get – I think he's just going to get overpaid. I know a lot of Jag fans out there have him in their mind. Could the Jags be in on Byron Maxwell? At the price that he's going to command, I just don't see it.
I was told – quite a while ago, they're comfortable with where they're at corner.
Right.
And really, Seattle tried to mask it late in the year, saying he was ill for a game. Pretty much benched.
Yeah. He's had six interceptions in those last two seasons. And you keep in mind how many people are thrown away from Richard Sherman. How many more opportunities does that give
sure.
you to create turnovers? So, you know, I don't think he's a game changer. He is one of the guys. Tony hit him in the face with a microphone at Media Day. He pissed
did.
Him off. But he was one out of all the
I
Seahawks.
Got my arm bumped, and he got hit in the face by a microphone I was holding. That's how I like to describe it. I didn't hit him in the face with
kind
a microphone.
Kind of in a roundabout way you did. But
he didn't answer a question. I said, no, dummy, and hit him in the face.
Bonk. He was one of the least arrogant Seahawks, I thought.
He was.
At Media Day, and was actually enjoyable to talk to from that perspective. The Fan Feedback Spotlight brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships. Featuring Tom Bush Volkswagen, Tom Bush Mazda, Tom Bush BMW, Tom Bush Mini. Gas prices on the rise again. Maybe it's time to consider a diesel. Tom Bush VW, Volkswagen, the number one selling diesel car brand in America. And this year, the Volkswagen Golf won North American Car of the Year. Volkswagen Golf Family won the Motor Trend Car of the Year. Go check them out at Tom Bush Volkswagen. Check them out all online at TomBush.com or visit them on Twitter at Tom Bush Motors. Ryan, how many guys, you're going to join us, I think, next Tuesday, right?
Sure.
So we'll kind of do this on we'll be in the countdown stages till 4 o'clock that day here on 1010XL. But what's your best guess on the first day of free agency? And, or maybe I should say, in terms of the names we've bandied about, this group of players, called a dozen deep, how many guys ultimately do you think the Jags land out of that group?
I say two.
I think so, too. Yeah. I think probably two. Because keep in mind, while you're pursuing this guy, a bunch of other guys are pursuing these other guys. You're only going to, if you sign a receiver, you're only going to sign one of those big time receivers.
And I would say, interrupt you, is you can go after everybody, but I think you can probably only really overpay for one or two guys. I think Cobb is going to be one of those guys where they'll go beyond their reach a little bit and same with Julius Thomas, because this team can't score. And that's what they have to address on offense. Granted, they would love Devin McCourty at free safety, but you can't go to $10 million or $11 million on everybody.
No, not on everybody. Right. I mean, because whereas they have the space, that's how you get yourself in trouble quickly down the line by doing that. If you could have Sue or you could have McCourty Bulaga.
I would take McCourty Bulaga.
So would I. And I know a lot of people would disagree with that, saying you don't get a chance to have a top 10 player on your team very often. I think you get more bang for your buck if you get two guys who are, you know, one guy in Bulaga who, if he's healthy, I think is among the better right tackles in the game. It's certainly a massive upgrade for you. And McCourty would be a massive upgrade as well.
And one thing I'll maybe touch on later this week is the one area where this team has spent money is defensive line. You have a lot of, you know, you have a lot of money to invest in that position right now.
I agree.
So, you know, that has to play into it as
but
well.
But if you could certainly, I mean, Chris Clemens and Red Bryant not going to be around much longer, right? So
yeah, I mean, I may be a little surprised if Red's here week one.
You have, is that right?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it depends on what they do.
I guess it depends on what they do, yeah. But I could certainly see Red sticking around for one more season. But they got a lot of money tied up in defensive tackle, mm-hmm. not as much in defensive end. We'll see how free agency may change that.
And it's amazing looking at their cap table. Is linebacker, they got one guy making more than one. They have one guy making more than a million. He happens to make $9 million.
Right. He makes more than the rest of the linebackers combined.
Yeah. At receiver, you have nobody making over 1.5.
Right.
With Marquise Lee.
Marquise Lee's around that range.
And secondary is the same thing.
Yeah. All right.
Well, talking about that, have you heard anything before we let you go, Ryan? Have you heard anything about Aluwalu, JT Thomas, Alan Ball, the guys that they've basically expressed that they'd like to have back that are going to be free agents starting Tuesday?
As of, with today's Wednesday, as of Monday, they were talking with Thomas and Tyson's people. So those talks have continued. A lot of times this goes into the weekend and they take as much time in that exclusive window. I think they want to get Tyson done because that sort of has a ripple effect on what they want to do elsewhere on that defensive line. As for JT Thomas, Dave Caldwell has said if he's re-signed, he is in the mix at that auto spot to compete.
I think so, he should be.
Yeah, you know, so to me, when they say that, they make him a priority to be re-signed. The fact that they haven't had a lot of dialogue with Alan Ball is probably just they're just going to say, hey, you know, we'll circle back to you.
Right, and you think the same thing kind of with Cecil Shorts, like, all right, here's an idea of you're going to go test the market. Let's see where we land, and let's revisit it if circumstances are that you haven't found a team, we haven't found a guy. Is that kind of how you say it?
I think the ship has sailed on him, though.
Do you? Completely?
I think there's going to be a couple of teams who at least will, you know, it's
Cleveland,
I think it's gonna,
said to be a suitor because that's where he's from, and they have nothing there.
Yeah. I think it's a similar thing with Maurice last year, is thank you for your service.
Right.
We're going in another direction. And all the while, you know, Maurice wasn't going to come back.
Sure.
You know, so I think there's going to be enough of a market for Cecil out there. I think Alan Ball's another case. You know, he may feel like he can eke out another couple of years here.
All right. He is Ryan O'Halloran. Check him out in the pages of the Florida Times Union, as well as the digital pages at jacksonville.com on Twitter, at Ryan O'Halloran. For Fat Tony, for Joe Fortunato and Tyler Devitt, I'm Mike Dempsey. Thanks to Metro Rooter, our Wednesday sponsor. If you're out there on the golf course this afternoon, look out for my wayward drives. But otherwise, have a great Wednesday. XL Primetime coming up next here on 1010XL 92.5 FM.